Hi, welcome everyone. This is Dave Shackelford, the founder of Voodoo Security, and I'm excited to be here to talk about a topic that's getting a lot of attention right now in the information security field, which is network security architecture. And while this may sound like a topic that everyone's generally familiar with already, and probably is to some extent, there's really a lot happening right now in terms of how organizations are re-architecting their environments, putting in different types of technologies, and really evolving their security practices to align better with operations teams and really look forward a bit further in respect to combating the types of threats that we're seeing right now. So I'm excited to be able to talk about this. Of course, to get more information about this topic and certainly quite a few others, go to searchsecurity.com, where you can not only find this information, but certainly a lot of good tangent information that ties into the topic that we're discussing. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. In my introduction, really all I'm doing is laying the stage for what we're going to be discussing here, right? So what we've seen over time, and this is something that I know will be familiar to network analysts and more security operations teams, we've really seen a network sprawl over the last 10 years. And what's interesting is that not only are we seeing sprawl, and what I mean by that is just kind of unsolicited growth, right? Just growth of our networks in terms of where we're connecting from and to, the types of connections that we're making, expansion into extranet-based environments with business partners or with certain types of customers connecting to our environments, moving out into the cloud. You name it, sprawl is certainly happening. And mobile is a big part of that, too, because in many cases, consumer types of devices are now endpoints, and that becomes a factor in terms of our network. But we've really seen this big overall growth. Well, coupled with that, we've also seen technology-wise, within the data center, the opposite thing happening. It's really an interesting effect. While our networks kind of surface area-wise have gotten bigger, in terms of system growth, we've seen it go the opposite direction because more and more organizations are using virtualization technologies and building even internal cloud capabilities that have consolidated things down. So instead of having 100 very simple servers, you've got maybe 20 servers, but they're much, much more powerful, and they're being clustered together to provide the concept of virtual data centers. So all of that is happening at the same time. And what it's really leading to are some new and different directions and conversations between operations teams and security teams. So naturally, this is leading to discussions around refresh cycles or new technologies or new ways to really just design security architecture overall. Some of the big considerations here, which shouldn't surprise anyone, but I'll emphasize them anyway, include isolation and segmentation of different traffic types. And then, of course, we're also seeing, to some extent, security consolidating as well. So instead of having security device sprawl, although nowhere near as large as just general network sprawl, we're looking for ways to somehow bring that under, you know, a little bit tighter operational control. So lots of interesting and exciting things happening right now in many organizations around the world. So the first real area that we can look at is traffic isolation and segmentation. And really what you start to see are a handful of major motivations that are shaping this conversation. So I'd argue compliance is probably still one of the biggest drivers in many organizations that I've worked with and continue to work with, and that is what it is. While you can, you know, rail against compliance as, you know, something that shouldn't necessarily be pushing security in any direction, that's not going to change, and I think as part of the maturation of the security industry overall, what we're seeing is more organizations, more security executives just learning to embrace that. Hey, you know what? It's budget, and if that's what it takes, while we're still certainly focused on checking the box, let's go ahead and see if we can leverage that business side driver to help us accomplish some of the goals that we would have been looking to do anyway. So that's certainly happening, but in the context of this conversation and looking at network security and architecture, what that is primarily focused on is reduction in the scope of compliance. And what I mean by that is trying to reduce the footprint of the environment that falls under the helm of compliance so that we can make our own lives simpler in terms of controls generation and maintenance over time. So you can really see these things happening together. Another major motivation here is just a network architecture refresh. This is usually driven by more operations teams than security, where perhaps you're moving into different business areas or perhaps geographic locations, and that's driving some of this. Or perhaps you've had a lot of your business unit folks coming and saying, hey, we need to move into the cloud, so what can we do to build some of these kind of hybrid architectures that allow for certain types of transactions to occur and so forth, certain data types to be moved there. And so a lot of people are really looking at what they've done and what they've built over the last 5 to 10 years and questioning whether that's the direction they should continue in. And while most organizations certainly aren't doing a complete overhaul, there is a lot of focus in this space right now. And then finally, the last major driver might just be security needs, where, for example, if you've had a data breach or if you've experienced some sort of adverse event that you learned from and were able to really pinpoint root cause of, you may realize we're lacking in certain types of security controls that may have helped us to either potentially prevent the event altogether or react and respond better and more effectively, and therefore it may warrant some redesign or just new considerations in the way that we do things. So all of these somewhat collaboratively are coming together to really drive a focus on isolating traffic, getting our traffic and our different network connectivity types, you know, kind of consolidated and focused, and then, of course, segmenting areas that we don't need to necessarily interact with the general part of our networks if that's what it comes down to. So keeping certain sensitive data a little more isolated, being able to control traffic as it's moving around, all really good focal areas for security and ops teams at the moment. One of the big discussions right now, not only in security circles but in networking circles, is the use of something called software-defined networking. And while I'll certainly be the last to just start slinging buzzwords about needlessly, I think this one's actually got some legs. And I've done quite a bit of research into this area over the last 12 months or so, and what I'm seeing is incredibly encouraging. So what we're talking about when we say software-defined networking is really a separation between the data and control planes within a networking environment, giving us the ability to, for example, program our switches, and more commodity switches at that. So the costs go down when you're looking at dispersing these throughout your entire network. But programming those switches in new and different ways using, you know, APIs and things that we haven't had from a central standpoint and starting to use protocols like OpenFlow, which is getting a lot of attention right now. Well, granted, it's not the only one that's being discussed. It's certainly the leader and is kind of setting those trends for the most part. But really getting the ability to automate across our network environments using software methods. So creating scripts, for example, that can detect certain packet attributes and then make decisions based on what they detect there. So you can almost use your entire switch mesh as a security mechanism in its own right. And so there's some fascinating things happening here. In fact, at the beginning of 2013, here in March, we actually saw a great presentation by one of the chief architects at Microsoft where they discussed using SDN for really controlling the traffic within their own cloud. Given the size of their cloud and the number of attacks they see, they were really experiencing just overload in terms of the quantity of traffic and how to control it. And so they implemented an OpenFlow-based software-defined networking implementation that really helped them aggregate traffic in certain ways, take certain traffic and port it to different locations for analysis to potentially trigger the use of different types of packet sniffing mechanisms. I mean, you name it, they had some great use cases, and we're seeing so many more of those emerge, particularly for defending against attacks like distributed denial of service, or those that have very, very well-known and definitive packet attributes that can be identified and responded to. So this is an area to watch. And what that's ultimately driving some security teams toward, granted, this is a little bit more mature security teams that are getting to this point, so it's still in its early stages, but it's giving us some new ways to capably monitor traffic and also perform that level of isolation. And I would strongly suspect over the course of the next 2 to 3 years, you're really going to see an evolution here between not only the traditional network manufacturers, but also a lot of security players as well. So definitely keep your eye on this concept and some of these different tools and techniques as they emerge. The next topic is certainly one that we've seen for a while now, but it continues, and that's layer two isolation. So we're not talking about anything new here, right? Virtual LANs or VLANs and private VLANs, where you get some additional segmentation within one contiguous VLAN, these are not new technologies, right? We have seen this for some time. Nothing really shaking out here in terms of the definition of those technologies. What we are seeing, though, are more organizations embracing a really strategic view of the use of layer two technologies to isolate and control their traffic. So getting away from kind of haphazard VLAN allocation, you know, just kind of arbitrarily assigning them as needed, and really starting to embrace the use of this with security use cases and drivers at the forefront. And this can be very, very helpful, especially in virtual environments where much of your traffic is consolidated, and quite a bit of it, in fact, may be largely contained within the virtual clusters themselves. So some of it, of course, will leave the virtual environment, but you may have quite a bit that's internal, and the use of VLANs and PVLANs can really augment your security strategy. Now, again, I'll be the first to say, if the only security isolation and control mechanisms you have are VLANs, you're probably a little bit short there. But using them in addition to a lot of your other tools and techniques can really help you. And we're also seeing a little bit more in the way of just layer two access controls, particularly as we're starting to span layer two across data centers using VXLAN and some of the newer technologies emerging from vendors like VMware. Well, layer two all of a sudden becomes incredibly important, not that it wasn't before, but we're focusing on it more. And so potentially using those types of techniques and technologies can really help us. So again, just a trend that's really continuing more than emerging, but I expect this one to continue as well. The next one is isolation at virtual network layers. So we're seeing a lot more implementation of robust virtual switches and also virtual firewalls or security appliances. And this is, again, just an evolution. A few years ago, many of these products really weren't that capable, and so most operations teams and security teams were a bit skeptical in terms of their capability set and whether they were really stable or whether they should just be put in place at all. But that's changed, right? I think we're seeing that many of these security and network device vendors have really kind of adopted a parity approach. In other words, they're trying to make them match at least the functionality that they would get within a physical device. You know, putting that into a virtual model really starts to make sense, especially as more organizations are consolidating. So we've seen a big emergence here. There's a lot of different players. I mean, certainly the big ones like Cisco and Juniper, Checkpoint, they've all got virtual appliances. You're starting to see more security players emerge too. So SourceFire and Tipping Point, some of the other IDS, IPS vendors. I mean, lots of things happening here. VMware themselves have actually started a line of security appliances that have been out for a couple of years now. And many organizations are looking at those as well. So this is giving you a new layer of defense in most cases that you might not have had before. So some really interesting things going on. And certainly, this is another trend that will just continue. I mean, there's no way this one's going to change just because too many organizations need that type of control within a virtual environment, much more so than they used to. You also have quite a few traditional types of network infrastructure and systems that are really being used effectively for certain types of security purposes these days. And those might include load balancers, content switches, even VPNs. You can keep going down the list, proxies. And so what is happening in this realm of the re-architecture that's going on is we're seeing really the development of more isolated or quarantined segments of the network, if you will. So, for example, quite a few organizations I've worked with in the past several years have really started to adopt almost an internal VPN model, using things like SSL VPNs as internal gateways to access particular protected segments. And this, of course, requires the use of multi-factor authentication and ties to Active Directory policies or what have you. Lots of interesting ways that they can take technologies that had traditionally been focused more on the external perimeter, if you will, and move that inside. And the use of things like load balancers and content switches, especially with the prevalence of DDoS attacks today, these can be very helpful. They're not going to solve your entire problem in most cases, but they can certainly help, particularly when you've got traffic at upper layers of the stack. So with the, you know, again, just domination of HTTP and, you know, kind of SSL traffic in the environment, those types of tools can also just help really not only isolate traffic in certain ways, but control it and make sure that it's available as well. So certainly a lot of things going on here, just trying to not necessarily repurpose these types of devices, but leverage them as part of a security architecture as well. So speaking about architectures, they're collapsing. So we're seeing a big collapse in terms of security architecture, particularly, again, with the evolution of things like virtualization and private clouds. You're seeing this, you know, condensation internally and, you know, this convergence of technology that's coming together that warrants really new ways of dealing with security threats, right? So you're going to see security going in this direction as well. We know from the wisdom of the last 30 years that this notion of defense in depth, in other words, having multiple layers of security, this is a good thing. But the more layers that you add and the more operational components that you bring into the mix, certainly the harder this is to keep up with over time. Invariably, what you'll discover is that certain things tend to become shelfware, or you're just not really exercising as much control over those components. Keeping headcount in place to manage things is challenging. I mean, you could keep going down this list. So what we've seen is really almost like a rebalancing of the amount of security that's needed. Not to say that we're getting away from functionality, far from it, but you are seeing a bit more attention paid by security teams to this notion that we could potentially collapse some of this. And so what is really driving this is this notion of unified platforms. So unified platforms, I don't want to lead anyone down the road of thinking that kind of the UTM or universal threat management devices are picking up within large enterprise, because they're really not. That market is actually a very stable marketplace within the security industry, but it tends to be a bit more geared towards smaller businesses or medium-sized businesses that would really like to just get their network access controls and filtering capabilities, maybe IDS, IPS, anti-malware. Again, you could go down the list, but putting those things into one platform that they can manage. And usually this is doable because they've got a little less traffic and they have maybe a smaller number of use cases to contend with. Well, large enterprises have traditionally shied away from that model of putting all that functionality into one place, instead choosing to adopt a more distributed type of security architecture. So I've got one platform that handles intrusion detection or prevention. I've got a firewall or a set of firewalls. I potentially have some sort of other proxy or gateway, potentially another anti-malware network-based device. You could certainly list a lot of different technologies, but they've usually been somewhat distinct in larger enterprises. And that is actually changing a bit. And what's driving that in many cases is this evolution of next-gen firewalls. While I was a little skeptical at first when that marketplace started to emerge, I'm not really anymore, because I think it's filling a natural need in the network security space, which is more focused on behavioral trends within your network traffic and also the inspection of protocols themselves at much, much faster speeds than we used to be capable of doing. And that's really where the attacks are happening. So you're seeing these really slight anomalies in protocols in terms of the way they're being implemented that are indicators of, you know, some sort of a compromise. And your traditional tools really aren't going to catch that. So as people are considering those types of new capabilities, what they're also doing is asking themselves, well, could I get one of these next-gen devices and have it do not only firewalling and this more advanced inspection, but maybe some of the traditional IDS, IPS functionality? So could I kind of get that into one place and maybe reduce some of the overhead and layers that I've traditionally had to maintain? And so that's really been something that a lot of people are looking into. And in fact, there are quite a few rip and replace projects underway right now where perhaps your licensing cycle came up and it made more sense to move to something like this. And now time will tell whether this ultimately shakes out as a viable strategy long term, but certainly some interesting trends going on there. So that wraps us up. Just some interesting things happening in the space. New business needs are driving this. Different traffic patterns are driving this. We're seeing a lot more discussion between network teams and security teams in the way that they're not only building this, but maintaining it and hoping to maintain this over time. Security is, again, getting that seat at the table, certainly with operations, because no one wants to build something that doesn't have security requirements built in from the get-go, right? They're not trying to go put something in place that security is going to have to come back later and try to develop an overlay for. In fact, security teams are usually right at the forefront of these movements and these changes within most enterprises right now. And that's really nice to see because that helps us put security in place early on in these project cycles versus having to worry about it later on. Lots of new technologies out there. So really excited to see some of the things that are trending in terms of application inspection and virtual platforms. And the evolution here, too, of software-defined networking, I think is going to make its way and kind of permeate into a lot of different areas of security and networking that have yet to really be discovered or discussed yet. So this is one to keep an eye on as well. And certainly, we'll be bringing you a lot more of that information as it happens. So thanks so much for coming and attending here. And again, just to get more information around this topic and to really drill into some of the specifics beyond what we've covered here, you can visit searchsecurity.com and find lots of awesome security and networking information. So thanks again, and we'll see you next time.